Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit," his own Spirit. And he said, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." And he formed the church. And he gave the church powers that previously only existed in heaven, the power to forgive sins. Recently, Pope Francis said at a meeting of superiors general in Rome of all the major orders of women religious, he said, "It is an absurd dichotomy to think of living with Jesus but without the church, of following Jesus outside the church, of loving Jesus without loving the church. It's absurd. And yet we hear it all the time. If you think about his words, it's almost a description of Protestantism, trying to live with Jesus, but without the church. If you say you love Jesus, but you don't believe in organized religion, can you tell me how that works? He came to found the church, and he gave it power. If you say you love and follow Jesus, but you reject the church, maybe you can follow Jesus out in the woods, on a mountaintop, on the beach, looking at a sunrise. How does that work with regards to the power to forgive sins? And Jesus also said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." Another place says the Paraclete, to be with you always. That other advocate, of course, is the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent into the church at Pentecost. And that's what we celebrate today. Today's the birthday of the church that Jesus Christ founded. Pentecost is a feast of the universal church that commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles 50 days after Easter. At the first Pentecost, after the resurrection of Jesus, the Holy Spirit was manifested, given, and communicated as a divine person to the church. The Holy Spirit is God. And this was to fulfill Jesus' Paschal mystery according to his promise that he would send the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. At Pentecost, we celebrate the beginning of the new age of the church that Jesus came to initiate. When Christ lives and acts in and with his church. Remember, where did Jesus go after his resurrection? Into the church. You see, it's absurd for someone to say they follow Jesus, but outside the church. Or that they love Jesus, but that they don't believe in organized religion. The Holy Spirit lives with us. This was Jesus' promise in the church. It was given to the church. That's what Pentecost is all about. The Feast of Pentecost belongs to the very beginning of the church and is considered on a similar level as Easter, as the resurrection. And in some places, catechumens are baptized at the Saturday vigil of Pentecost. And the Easter season ends, as I said earlier, with the celebration of Pentecost. On another point, as I was mentioning, we begin ordinary time tomorrow, Monday, the Monday after Pentecost. One of the first celebrations in ordinary time after Pentecost is the Feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. We have another name for it. We call it Corpus Christi. On June 2nd, we'll be having a procession that day after the 1:15 Mass of Corpus Christi on Sunday afternoon, June 2nd, the Feast of Corpus Christi. And after that 1:15 Mass, we will form the procession here at the altar and process with the Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance and go forth and then out into the parking lot and down to the street. And the procession will form and we will process down Riker Drive to the bottom of the hill and then turn and come back up the hill to the sanctuary of Our Lady of Guadalupe and to the altar that's outside over here where we will have benediction. Even though the Mass is of 1:15 is a Spanish Mass, the procession is not in any language. We can all process together. Watch the bulletin and put it into your calendar, June 2nd, Feast of Corpus Christi. Now the name of our parish is Sacred Heart Parish. Friday, June 7th is the solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. It is no accident that the celebration of the Sacred Heart comes from the first Friday after the Feast of Corpus Christi. You see, that is exactly what Jesus told St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in a vision in June 1675. He told her, "Behold this heart, which has loved men so much that it has spared nothing, even to exhausting and consuming itself in order to testify to them its love." Now, Jesus told this to St. Margaret Mary in a vision while she was praying before the Blessed Sacrament on the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament, Corpus Christi. And he said to her, "Therefore, I ask of you that the Friday after the octave of Corpus Christi be set apart for a special feast to honor my heart by communicating on that day." So you have the Feast of the Blessed Body and Blood of Jesus, Corpus Christi, and he's saying immediately the first Friday after that, then celebrate Sacred Heart. You see how those things go together? They're connected. He connected them. He also told her to receive Holy Communion. The Feast of the Blessed Sacrament is our Corpus Christi. There was a strong movement at that time, powerful heresy called Jansenism going on. It's still going on today in many parts of the world, and we have traces of it in our own community. Part of that heresy was teaching people the folly, the danger of going to frequent communion. And the popes have been fighting against that teaching for centuries. People get over scrupulous about going to communion. And the popes were attempting throughout those centuries and even today to encourage frequent reception of Holy Communion. But the heretics were teaching, and the heretics included priests and bishops and theologians and prominent lay people, and they were preaching, they were blocking the people from frequent communion. You still see this going on today, even our own community. And Jesus told St. Margaret Mary, "Receive me in Holy Communion as often as obedience will permit." And to communicate, get this, to receive Holy Communion on the first Friday of every month. In other words, if you have a devotion to Him, if you have a devotion to His body and blood, if you have a promotion to His Sacred Heart, then on at least once a month, receive Him in Holy Communion on the first Friday of every month. Now, with the spread of the devotion to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus throughout the Church, the heretical teachers against receiving Holy Communion were quickly overcome in most parts of the Christian world. And devotions to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus spread like wildfire throughout the Church, even with the blessing of the popes. Catholic churches, schools, universities, hospitals, and parishes all over the world have been dedicated and named for the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. I didn't know this until this weekend as I was preparing. Our parish is one of six parishes in the Diocese of Austin dedicated, named for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. That's a pretty powerful influence. Probably almost as many as there are St. Mary's. There's an intimate connection between the Feast of Corpus Christi and the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament and the Feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. So let's together prepare to worship both of those feasts, June 2nd, Corpus Christi, and receive Holy Communion on both of those feasts. I propose a novena. How about a novena to the Sacred Heart? Now, there's a new idea. It's an old idea, but it'd be new here in the parish. That beginning 9 days before the Feast of the Sacred Heart, on Wednesday, May 29th, I propose we have a Mass that evening, and we have the novena before every Mass every day for 9 days, as Jesus instructed St. Margaret Mary. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, communicating Jesus in and through the Church, as He promised the apostles at Pentecost.